Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger. On the road. Yeah, on the road for a couple of more days. Then I'll be back in the bunker. Well, what's happening out there? Is the world going to hell as usual? Yep, it is. Mother Nature's closing in for the kill. Yeah, went to see a movie while I was on the road. Jack Ryan, where the Russians manipulate a plan to bring the United States capitalists to their knees by debasing the currency and blowing up Wall Street. Very interesting. I think the crowd in the theater had mixed emotions about whether to clap or cry. Everywhere I go, I see signs of lack of water. Not in the Midwest, of course, where the snow is quite deep. But just because the snow is quite deep now does not necessarily mean there's going to be plenty of water in the summer and fall. However, like I think I told you before, when I ran for U.S. Congress in 1980, I said we need to build, we have to have a crash program of desalinization plants with all the cities along the coast, California, right on up. Nobody listened. I said we need a military presence at the border. Just build a storage area for military operations all across the border, or most of the border at least. Nobody listened to that either. Later, the Attorney General, Duke Majan, came out with the idea, said maybe we need military on the border. He became governor. But as you see, there is no military to speak of on the border because that was not the plan by the ruling class. You got to understand that you have to run it by the ruling class, and if the ruling class says no, no, well, it's no, no. I notice in most urban areas I've passed through that people are getting more despondent, more unfriendly, more I don't know what. They're not happy. They're driving faster and faster, too. Almost like, maybe playing Russian roulette, almost. Did you notice the way that it seems like they're promoting acts of terrorism? They come on television, they put tubes of toothpaste out, and say this is the way it would be done, and they could put explosives in these toothpaste tubes, and they lay out almost exactly how you do it, and then say, this is liable to happen. This is liable to happen at the Olympics. The media promote, I think, more terrorism than most people could think of in a lifetime. It's interesting how they can juggle the job features by saying, well, there's not as many doing this and that as there was, when what's really true is that people have run out of unemployment and they run out of the will to even look. And now, the Republicans have caused $100 million to be cut from food stamp programs and so forth. But I noticed they haven't cut anything for the rich agribusiness people who are subsidized by tens and hundreds of millions for not growing crops. My own congressman receives about $1 million a year not to plant things right in my backyard. And he cries and moans about people who are receiving some crummy little welfare while he's taking in $1 million a year for not raising anything. And there are tens of thousands of farmers around the country doing the same thing. And they moan and cry about poor people. A new program I have is that I have hundreds of emails that I've collected in other files in my computer over the months and years, and they have not been actively pursued. And so what we're doing is cleaning out all those emails that are no good anymore, and we're going to be putting these groups together to send out a daily news bulletin to. So you may see one come to you, but if you're signed up on the club, the radio club, you won't get one because you get yours automatically when we send out news updates during the day. So this may allow a lot of people who haven't had much contact with us and may be very busy to get consolidated and concise information on race every day. Thank you for getting our donations for the radio show in. And if you haven't got your donations for the radio show in, we appreciate it if you do. And also extra donations for prisoners, books and so forth, and cash that we send to prisoners, deserving prisoners. Well, here's a little bit from an article I just read on the road. Freedom's Journal, the first African-American newspaper, emerged out of a need to counter racist, degrading, pro-slavery comments that were published in the mainstream press after the Civil War. Papers such as the New York Inquirer, New York Courier, National Advertiser, Evening Star, and Sunday Times all wrote articles degrading the newly freed slaves, portraying them as ignorant children who needed the support of whites to survive and who were happier as slaves. Well, I believe, if you'll check the record, that was mostly true. They might not have been happier, at least all of them, with being slaves, but they were glad to take the handouts from the whites. They were depicted as inferior to whites. Well, that's true. And a threat to society if set free. Well, we see what has happened. They're free, and they are a threat to society. Founded in New York, Freedom's Journal editors John Rusworm and Samuel Cornish declared in their first issue, quote, "Too long have others spoken for us. Too long has the public been deceived by misrepresentations." Well, I don't think so. They wanted the newspaper to strengthen the autonomy and common identity of African Americans in society. That was 187 years ago. Still today, people of African descent, black people, are characterized as dangerous criminals and less than desirable citizens of the country in which they reside. Well, if the shoe fits, wear it. Forbes magazine publishes an annual list of the most dangerous cities in America, and every year that list is topped with cities that have heavy black populations. True. Detroit, Michigan tops the list. Detroit is 84% black. Oh, because of color-based racism, African Americans are charged with committing the most violent crimes, viewed as subhuman beings, and are held responsible for the tremendous burden on the U.S. welfare system. Well, if the shoe fits, wear it. And that's it from the black press. They will accept no responsibility for their position. None of their spokesmen will apologize to the white community for the bestial crimes they commit against them. They won't even apologize for the tremendous power of the black Ku Klux Klan in Chicago that spends more time killing black people than any other group ever thought of, including the Ku Klux Klan. If the Ku Klux Klan had killed as many blacks per capita as they're talking about today, there would be hundreds of thousands of blacks would have laid on the streets of the South to rot. That's true. That's a thought from Tommy. Well, we've come a long way since this. I'm going to read you a quote from an article that I picked up on the web. says the normative construction of the black body as evil had already begun as early as the 5th century. Gustave Jahoda writes about John Cassian, a monk who wrote a series of spiritual conferences. Some of these portrayed the devil in the shape of a hideous negro, or a demon like a negro woman, ill-smelling and ugly. Saint Benedict, whom McIntyre claims we need a new version of, and from whom Pope Benedict XVI took his name, an admirer of Cassian, made sure that the conferences were read in the monasteries, and thus these images would have been widely circulated. An axiological frame of reference is where blackness is identified with demons, presupposed the identification of whiteness with light, divinity, and goodness. How about that? I recently saw an ad on the internet, the Clinton Foundation, yes, the Clinton Foundation, saying be part of our work in Africa, showing Bill Clinton sitting in a room full of Negroes. Of course, he didn't have to go all the way to Africa to work in a room of poor Negroes, or he might have even worked in a room of poor white kids, you know? These psychopaths that have been the presidents of the United States for a long time are nuts. They're psychopaths and they're insane. He believes evidently in some kind of justification of being nice to some skinny little Negroes in Africa will start to maybe help the guilt feelings he has, maybe. But I don't know what can help these psychopaths. Probably nothing. The Bush crime family are certainly psychopaths, both father and son. But anyhow, they all are, so if you don't understand that, you don't understand what's going on. You wonder why they do the things they do, because they're psychopaths. This is from an article that appeared on the internet, the Workers' Party of North Ireland. They don't say the White Workers' Party of North Ireland. Workers' Party representative Gemma Weir has called for united community response to the recent spate of racist attacks in the North Belfast area. Yeah, pissed off white workers are sick and tired of non-white wogs coming in from all over the world to take their jobs. Her comments come following an attack on a house in the Moyne Collier area on Friday evening, in which a window was broken and racist graffiti daubed on the walls. Oh my God, the sky is falling. We have to protect the interloping illegal workers who are taking our jobs. We must protect them. Insanity? I would say so. This is the second racist attack on North Belfast residents in the past few weeks. Cars were burnt and damaged in the Whitehall area last week, and now we have another attack only a few miles away, said Gemma. She says racism is wrong. In other words, defending yourself against people who are bound and determined to take your job and your housing and your future, that's wrong. There's no room for it in our society, she said, and it must be met with determined, united community response. Now here's a beautiful white gal that's working her ass off for the MUDs. It is important that everyone condemn these attacks without reservation, that anyone who does seek to justify them is confronted and denounced. A united and actively anti-racist community response is the only way to counter this hate. You know, this could be said a million times, and it is said a million times all over the world. It's Soviet Principle 10 all over again. And we may have beat them economically, but we imported all their social programs and all their plans to bring the U.S. to its defeat, and also the European nations. And this from Russia. Irina Rodinina, former Russian figure skater and current member of President Vladimir Putin's cabinet, posted an extremely racist and inflammatory picture of President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama on Twitter and refuses to apologize for it, reports the Guardian newspaper. Rodnina posted the picture, which depicts President Obama chewing while a photoshopped hand waves a banana in his face in September 2013. She insists that the image was sent to her from friends in America and is not racist. Freedom of speech is freedom of speech, and you should answer for your own hang-ups, Rodnina wrote. Rodnina, who lived in the U.S. for many years, deleted the photograph, but has not apologized and remains unfazed by accusations of racism. Instead, she suggests that the wave of criticism she prompted from liberal journalists and others, other Russians, was a conspiracy. And it probably was a conspiracy against free speech. The incident was widely discussed in the Russian press, with many commentators coming to the defense of the MP and figure skater. Quote, what Irina Konstantinova put on Twitter is her business. It's her own personal space, unquote, wrote the Kremlin television presenter Vladimir Solovy in the Moscow Free Sheet on Monday. Quote, this is not a big scandal, unquote. He claimed that the reaction was oversensitive and that the photograph was not racist. Quote, I advise everyone who attacked her that the next time they go out for coffee, they should not call it black coffee, but African-American coffee. President Obama has been subjected to unprecedented racism during his two terms. More recently, he has openly criticized Russia's ban on allowing gay athletes to participate in the Sochi Olympics. As reported by the Associated Foreign Press, Obama picked several openly gay former athletes in the U.S. delegation to the opening games and pointedly did not dispatch a cabinet-level official or a member of his family to Sochi. Oh, that's really nice, Mr. President. And that's because, as Larry Sinclair has exposed a long time, the President of the United States is bisexual. Well, that's about it from Terrible Tommy on the road, but I'll be back in the bunker very soon. 14-5. Five words. I have nothing to say. Now the show is over.